Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
You could just shut your big yapper.
Saturday morning, and you know what time it is. It's time for The Balance, your number one internet sports talk show in the world. My name is Tom Mark with El Presidente. So glad that you guys have stumbled across us. This is where it happens at. This is what we do every Saturday morning. We talk sports. All kinds of sports. We're not going to let you down today. My digit's 917-889-8516. One of the great things about our show is pretty much you can jump in the conversation at any time. Feel free. 917-889-8516. Follow us on Twitter or our social media. Our producer is sick today, Michelle. And so I'm going to kind of be doing a lot of stuff solo today. So bear with me, if you will. T-Balance is where you find us on Twitter and Facebook, The Balance. Well, we got some stuff to talk about. Because you know what? Daytona is right around the corner. Literally right around the corner. NASCAR is back. All the points are really set even. Got the new points change. Yes, 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 we're going to be talking about Danica, we're going to be talking about her little puss ass and all of this stuff, because we have to, because that's what we do here. We talk about, well, what you're talking about, and apparently the world is dominated with Danica Patrick, and the infatuation is with Danica Patrick. Well, we're going to talk about what Kyle Petty said. We're going to talk about what the King said. Maybe the King doesn't necessarily agree with the rest of the world. We'll talk about that. At 9:30, Kent Sterling is going to be joining us. IU jumping into some... Oh, boy, where do we start with IU? What is going on with Indiana, the Hoosiers, Tom Crean? Is his job secure? Of course, big game going on today up at Mackey Arena in Purdue and Lafayette, Indiana. Throw out all records. Everything goes by the wayside. We play Purdue. And then at 10 o'clock, $2 bill, Josh, can be joining us. Let me break it down the NBA talk. 10:30, we're going to be breaking down the Olympics. And whatever else you want to talk about. So see, and here's the thing, guys. This is big news. Big news. Breaking news. Breaking news. Not really. But pretty exciting things to talk about with baseball. Baseball is spring training is officially underway. Pitchers, catchers, and rookies have reported to camp in a much sunnier weather than what we're having here in the Midwest. And as we flagship from Indianapolis, Indiana. Whoa. You know what? I have said for the last 3 weeks, I am tired of talking about this weather. I thought this week, although if we are to continue to believe the weathermen here in the Midwest, they tell us, at least this is what they say. They say that better times are coming. Let's hope so. My gosh. They told us yesterday when I went to the office, 1 inch dusting, maybe 2 inches. Okay, I can deal with that. I drove home in 5 inches of snow. I'll tell you what, Mother Nature, I don't know what we did to piss you off, but how do we get back on your good side? This week, maybe, hopefully, calling later in the week for it to be up in the 50s. So anyway, I know it's the Winter Olympics in Sochi, so we should be happy about the winter. But I'm tired of dealing with the guys. My name's Tom Mike, myself, Presidente. Be right back. We're talking about what the King, Dinokin, said.
Breaking her heart.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Soccer is the world's game.
And it has deep roots in Indiana.
It lives in our backyard.
In our rec league.
In nuestras escuelas.
Indy 11 is here.
And make no mistake, this is Indiana's team.
It was built from the ground up.
Brick by brick by soccer fans.
When we take the field next April, we'll be playing for you.
For me. Para mí.
For us.
This is my team.
Este es mi equipo.
This is our team.
This is your team.
It's time.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be there.
Voy a estar ahí. I'll be there.
This isn't just any soccer team. This is Indiana's team, and that includes you.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
Danica Patrick is with us.
Hello.
And the defending pole champion of the Daytona 500.
So good.
It's nice. And media day a little different this time around than last year.
You know, last year it was so much fun. All I did was talk about Ricky and answer questions about him, and it was so happy and I was smiling. And I think anything's a downer from that. That was fun.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr., which we could ask about, but let's start with another Ricky, known as Richard the King. And I know you've been asked all morning about that.
Yeah.
And your response to, and I'll paraphrase, and he wants to clarify, but the Petties have said before, hey, Danica can win a race when nobody else is out on the track. Something to that effect. Your thoughts?
That there have been plenty of people over the years that have had opinions about me, and there'll be plenty in the future, I'm sure. You know, what I focus on is how I feel, how my team is feeling. A little kid when they run up to you and want a hug and tells you that they want to grow up to be like you. I mean, that's pretty good stuff to think about. So I focus on the positive, and also the other side of the positive with a story like this is that, you know, it's cool when you see people write the contrasting story to it and defend me. And I'm very flattered by those. So a lot of good comes from it, too.
Yeah, and he was clear about the positive impact you've brought into NASCAR and the sport in a different part of his comments. But I'm sure you're used to Denica from a young age, skeptics, critics. Do you use that as motivation, or do you block that out and just do your own thing?
You're really just doing your own thing. I mean, you can't try any harder on the track. If anybody ever wonders if we can try harder, you can't. You already are. We all are. So it's really just let's just keep Media Day fun. That sounds, give me something different to talk about.
Right. Speaking of trying out the track, I know your crew chief, Tony Gibson, who has said, you know, the speed, you know, is a little better, but the qualifying is something now we can focus on, to qualify better. I mean, you say it, how do you do it, especially with the new qualifying rules?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things that we did in the first half of the season was, you know, I'd describe what the car was doing, and, you know, we'd make big changes and kind of throw the kitchen sink at it, and he's trying to make me feel better out there. But what I think that was discovered as the season went on and got later is that little changes make a huge difference on the track. So I think that, you know, while it seems like we're far off sometimes, I think we might be a couple little changes away sometimes.
Yeah, and you'll be in your first Sprint Unlimited, which will have primetime Fox Sports 1 on Saturday night. And so it's a no-points race. How can you use that, have a little fun, but also use it to your advantage?
Well, it's a time to learn and try things. Shoot, it's a time to win it and
That's
get
right.
to be in it every year. That would be awesome. But I think that for me, it's going to be great to just get in tune out there, try some things. I think trying some things and showing people that no matter what, you want to go to the front, I think is a really good thing for other drivers to see.
Good seeing you. Have a great Daytona stretch and season. All right.
Thank you very much.
Danica Patrick in the 10 GoDaddy Stewart Haas car.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Marquessel, President. Hey, well, there you go. What difference does it make, right? Where have we heard that before? Not exactly what she said, but she said, hey, let's keep Media Day fun. I want to talk about Ricky. Here we go. You know, it's racing when we're talking about Danica. Well, there you go. The man, the king, Richard Petty, says, hey, the only way Danica can win a race if she's the only one on the track. I actually love that comment. How many of you guys agree with me? She's not proven herself to be worth a darn. 917-889-8516. She's certainly not won enough races to be walking around here like she's the queen of Sheba, Egypt, or NASCAR. Unbelievable. Last year it was so fun. Last year was so much fun. I was talking about Ricky. I got the pole. Get the pole, but you couldn't win. And you know what? You're not the only pole winner that's not won a race. But you are the only pole winner that's not won a race. I don't get it. I don't get the infatuation with Danica Patrick. Maybe somebody out there can tell me why sponsors. Yeah, she stepped back. Maybe she's not as scandalous. Maybe she's not showing her bod. You know, maybe that's where her money needs to be at. Maybe she needs to be a supermodel. There's a lot of people making money. Well, a lot of supermodels making supermodel money. At least then we get it. Hey, she's a supermodel. We're paying her because she's a supermodel. Put her on the cover of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. Get it. Got it. Race car driver? Don't get it. Don't understand it. She couldn't hack it. She couldn't make it. She couldn't hack it in IndyCar. Went on over there. to NASCAR with her little buddy, Tony Stewart. I don't understand Danica Patrick. I don't understand the love affair with Danica Patrick. At least, you know, you can say what you want about Dale Jr., Jeff Gordon, other drivers you may not like, but at least they're winning races. You say what you want about DK, Brad Keselowski, but he's a champion. Danica is none of that. What is her win average? If she was, you know, we're going to be talking about wins and losses here in just a few minutes with Kent Sterling of KentSterling.com. We're going to be talking about Tom Crean and the losses he's had. How many NFL coaches have lost their job because of losses? So say what you want about BK. Say what you want about the Bushes. Kyle Busch, Kurt Busch, all the Bushes. Say what you want. Hell, the Bushes in my front yard have won more than Danica Patrick. Why are we even upset? Why are we even concerned that Richard Petty said the only way she could win a race if she's the only one on the track? One would probably argue she can't even win then. What's the one poll that we can go to? You know, at least with Dale Jr., Jeff Gordon, Busch, BK, Ryan Newman, and the drivers, I could probably pretty much name every NASCAR driver out there who have won more polls than Danica Patrick. What about IndyCar? What about her record with IndyCar? It's not like she was winning over an IndyCar. She's a marketability. I get that. But let's pay her for what she does. That's why we pay supermodels. That's why we give them all kinds of money to sell our product. Great. We don't pay supermodels to win races. Richard Petty had the balls to say what everybody else is thinking, to say what everybody else is afraid to say. My hat's off to you. And Danica, if I'm wrong on that, then you need to prove us wrong on that. Prove to us that you can win a race with 20, 30, whatever, how many other cars are on the track. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Maybe you can shed some light on it. You know, it's a story within a story within a story. Maybe we shouldn't be surprised that Tony Stewart signed, but at least Tony Stewart is a champion. Tony backs up a lot of I can't say it. Tony Stewart backs up a lot of crap that he talks. He's back. Says his leg is pain-free. Back and ready for action. He's ready to go. Graying in the beard, graying in the hair. Just like me. Just like me. Hey, Tony, you know what? You may have your haters, but on this show, we love you. Because you know why? You've won championships. You've won races. You've backed up what you've had to say. Now, we can have the conversation that maybe you shouldn't have been racing in another race series that caused you to have a broken leg. Maybe you disappointed your fans. But dang it, at least you're winning races. Why are we having the conversation about Danica Patrick and something Richard Petty said that was the truth? I'm sorry. I know there's all kinds of Danica lovers out there. And I know Danica is the end-all and say-all in NASCAR and racing. How sad is that? When one of the greatest racing legends of all time Say what you want about Austin Dillon driving the number three car this year. Austin Dillon's won race. Austin Dillon effectively is probably and will win more races than Danica Patrick in the number three car this year. Say what you want. Be a Danica lover, that's great. Maybe I'm not a Danica hater, per se. Danica's a very talented race car driver. There's been a lot of women who've won races. She might be a frontier, a pioneer woman, if you will, a trailblazer, if you will, one that's made her mark. But has she really been? Tony Stewart, did you sign Danica because she was a hot supermodel, could bring sponsors, or did you sign her to win races? My guess, knowing what he did with Ryan Newman, it's about the money. And that's important as a team owner. You've got to think about the money. You've got to look at who's going to bring the money in. Kevin Harvick can bring some money in. Danica could most certainly bring some money into Tony Stewart's operation. So as a team owner, probably a good business decision. But do you say, hey, Tony could give us all the front talk that he wants and say, oh, well, she's a very talented driver. I think she could make a championship. I think she could win a championship. I see things in her that you don't. Well, then let her prove it. I have no doubt that Tony Stewart signed Danica Patrick because she thinks she has talent. But let's face it. Ryan Newman has talent. Ryan Newman at least won here in Indianapolis. Ryan Newman at least won races. Has won many races. A hell of a lot more than Danica Patrick ever has. So the next question is, I'm a business owner. I'm going to do what's profitable for my business. I get it. I'm all for capitalism in America. Trust me, I get it. I love it. I don't blame him one bit for signing Danica Patrick. Maybe there's a lot of people out there that hate on Danica, but at least she can bring money into your organization. Great. But why are we mad at Richard Petty for at least saying the truth? We're mad at Richard Petty because he said the truth. Hats off to Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart was the only one smart enough to bring her on board for the financial reasons. Great. Tony, get out there and say, hey, I brought her on board because she's a babe. She's a supermodel, and she can sell my product. Bravo, 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 Tony Stewart. But let's not fool ourselves into thinking that Danica Patrick can win races. We're probably talking more about Danica in this half hour than we will the rest of the year. And why? Because she ain't going to win any races. I digress. 917-889-8516 is my numbers. If you want to jump in the Danica Patrick conversation. If you agree with Richard Petty, you don't agree with Richard Petty. You heard it in the soundbite. Let's just talk about Ricky. Let's just talk about me winning the poll. You know what? I don't really care who you're begging, Danica. Ricky Stenhouse, Tony Stewart, all of them, I don't care. I think as fans, we want to watch our drivers win races. You're a very marketable person. Oh, I want to be like you. Scene from Jungle Book or something. I want to be like you. I should have gotten that sound like. it, And it's really not about what have you done for me lately. It's what have you done for us anytime. Danica Patrick, Richard Petty. Guys, Richard Petty, I'm going to say this, so I'm going to let it be. Thank you again. I'm going to repeat this. Thank you again for saying what nobody else has the balls to say. We're going to sit around, and we're going to watch Danica for the rest of the year. And probably years to come. But you know who we're going to be talking about in the Tony Stewart camp about winning races? It's going to be Kevin Harvick. It's going to be Tony Stewart. It's not going to be Danica Patrick. Who are we going to talk about who's bringing money in? We're going to be talking about Danica Patrick. Tony Stewart says his leg is pain-free. He's going to be making a big comeback. We're going to be talking about that. We're not going to be talking about Danica anymore this year. Well, I'll make a deal with you. If she wins the race, we talk about her. I joke with my producer and my lovely lady and my Valentine, Michelle Jones, I joke with her about being a Danica hater. But at least she gets it. I think she's on the same page as Richard Petty. Jeff Gordon, by the way. Shifted gears. Like how I do that. Jeff Gordon. Wait for it. Wait for it. And sometime in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to go back and play some sound bites from you that you heard it here. Is Jeff Gordon done? Is his years as a race car driver done? Well, all I'm saying is he's dropping the hint, saying that he's going to retire in the 2014 season. Last year, right here on The Balance, I said to you, Jeff Gordon's last year is soon. Jeff Gordon's going to be done, and it's time to call it quits. I had a big old rant about it. If you're a minion, you know it. You heard it. Jeff Gordon may retire. I would say that it's almost certain he's going to retire if he wins a championship. He skated in to the chase or the ability to win a championship by just the skin of his teeth last year. Don't get me wrong. Jeff Gordon's a great, great racer. A legend. He'll be right up there with Richard Petty. And if Jeff Gordon says that Danica Patrick, the only way she can win a race is if she's the only one on the track, I agree with him. At least we can look back at Jeff Gordon's career, and we can say, Jeff Gordon, you, my friend, have won some races. And he's from Indiana. I want to thank all my friends over at Indiana Talks, by the way, who listen to us faithfully every Saturday afternoon in our rebroadcast. Also, all of our people, you might be later on in the week just downloading on iTunes. Well, thank you for listening to us. Thank you. It's real easy to be a minion. Just go to The Balance on Facebook. We're doing this 14 and 14 thing, 14,000 fans and followers. And don't forget our sister sites, www.indianmay.com. Yes, IndyCar, all IndyCar, all the time. Pro Indy. We've kind of merged that, IndyProSports.com, by the way. We've merged that here over here at The Balance. So everything's kind of together. But on Facebook, we do have a separate fan page exclusively for Indianapolis sports, whether that be the Indians, the Colts, the Pacers. Chats off to the Pacers. Two of the Pacers making the NBA All-Stars. Also, Slick Leonard. Hey, hats off to old Slick Leonard to making it into the NBA Hall of Fame. And back on point here, You know, Gordon was asked earlier this week, going back to Media Day, just how serious he was about leaving the sport for good, or if he was able to secure one last bit of history. And his answer was simple. Probably more serious than most people think. Yeah, I don't know that we've ever heard Jeff Gordon say that before. He's 42 years old. He's a father. He's a husband. He's won championships, been there, done that. So it's probably, I would say most definitely, no, certainly he has not officially announced his retirement. But I would say most definitely if he wins a championship. Let me use that word win again. Seems to be the theme here in our racing segment. Win. Win, win, win. They'll probably hang it up. But maybe not. You know, maybe he'll hang it up even if he doesn't win a championship. Certainly one of the greatest. We could literally say Jeff Gordon and have him in the conversation as being one of the greatest NASCAR drivers of all time. And we're getting geared up for IndyCar. Don't think that we've forgot about IndyCar or anything like that, because we've got a lot of IndyCar to talk about this year. That's for sure. Well, my name is Sal Marquis, El Presidente, and this is The Balance. This is what we do every Saturday morning. I'm so glad that you're a part of the show. My rant is over about Danica Patrick. Danica, prove us wrong. Our racing segment has come to a close. Take a bow. We'll be right back. Right after this, we'll be talking with Kent Sterling. Caught up with him earlier this week in a pre-recorded interview. Be right back. You're going to be talking to some IU Purdue today. IU Purdue up at Mackey Arena at 4 o'clock today. Tell me about that. Is Tom Crean's job secure at Bloomington with the Indiana Hoosiers? We're going to talk about that in depth with Kent Sterling coming up next. Right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name is Sal Marquis, El Presidente. Stay right there.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Soccer is the world's game.
And it has deep roots in Indiana.
It lives in our backyard.
In our rec league.
In nuestras escuelas.
Indy 11 is here.
And make no mistake, this is Indiana's team.
It was built from the ground up.
Brick by brick by soccer fans.
When we take the field next April, we'll be playing for you.
For me. Para mí.
For us.
This is my team.
Este es mi equipo.
This is our team.
This is your team.
It's time.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be there.
Voy a estar ahí. I'll be there.
This isn't just any soccer team. This is Indiana's team, and that includes you.
Welcome back to The Balance, my minions. It's Saturday morning, and you know what we do every Saturday morning? We talk hoops right here on The Balance Radio Network. And The Balance We talk college hoops. And I tell you what, one of my favorite guys to talk college hoops to, or at least watch on the Internet and follow on the Internet, is one Kent Sterling from KentSterling.com and 1070 The Fan here local in Indianapolis. Kent, how are you doing, sir?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Fantastic. I tell you what, though, I know we talked a little bit off mic here about this, but this weather here in the Midwest, and I guess we got no room to talk. Pretty much everybody's having some weather issues. It is winter, but I am tired of it, and I am ready for what we anticipate is some better days ahead, and maybe that's the same thing to do with IU. I want to jump right into this, Kent. IU, last night against Penn State, again, really just, I felt like at the very, very last second, if you will, upchuck this game. And I don't want to do any spoilers on your blog, but you talked about it in quite detail. What I want from you, Ken, is I just want complete transparency. IU is not the same. A lot of people might say they're a better team than what they were if you look at them on tape and compare them what they were before, early in the Big Ten season, to what they are now. We're halfway through the basketball home stretch. Ken, say something that makes us feel good.
Well, it makes us feel good. I think they're real talented. They're real long. And if they figure out how to play well together, then the season has a chance to end happy. But right now at 4-7 in the Big Ten, they've got to go 5-2 to finish 9-9 and have a chance at an at-large bid. You know, if he can't beat Penn State at home, I don't know what in the world chance we have as Hoosier fans to see Indiana finish the season at Michigan with a win or beat Wisconsin up in Madison. You know, last night was a debacle. From about the 232 point left in the game through the end, Indiana was just terrible. They had a 9-point lead with two minutes and 9 seconds left. They gave up an 11-point or a 9-point lead at that point to get beat by one, and they never shot a free throw. I don't know how you generate that many turnovers. I've never seen it. I've never seen a team come back from a near double-digit deficit to win without fouling anybody in the last 2 minutes. It was unbelievable.
Well, I tell you what, just the expression on Tom Crean's face, they say a picture says a thousand words. Well, this wrote a complete novel as he watched his team fall apart in the second half, and especially in the last 5 minutes of the game. And, you know, not necessarily me. I'm kind of in the theme of the Olympics. I'm Switzerland right now. I'm neutral territory right now. But I tell you what, the bus tickets to get Tom Crean out of town are looking more and more appealing. Even though I know you got a lot of content, it's probably not going to happen. And, you know, but fans are growing impatient. And I'll let you talk about this. Your blog here on KentSterling.com, Indiana basketball, because I'm not ready to march on Cook Hall with a torch. I'm now a Crean apologist. What say you, sir?
Well, which I never thought I'd be. If anybody's been yelled at by the people down at IU for writing negatively about Indiana and about Tom Crean, it's me. So for people to think that I'm some kind of a lackey for Tom Crean or that program is just preposterous, but that's kind of the position that I've been put into because I'm trying to be fair about it and trying to see this team for what it is. And I've talked to Tom Crean. I talked to him after the Wisconsin game, which they won, so he was pretty happy. And, you know, he knows basketball. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to diagram an out-of-bounds play. The thing that people wonder is why these players can't run it. That's what I wonder, and I think that's what Tom Crean wonders. You know, he's a good basketball coach. Did the Duke people, when Duke got beat by Lehigh 2 years ago, a 15 seed in the NCAA tournament, did they march on Cameron and want Crean or want Coach K gone? Of course not. You know, Tom Crean's a good basketball coach. The team, nobody is less happy about it than he is. And for Indiana fans, think somehow that because they lived through the Bob Knight era, they know more about basketball than Tom Crean is ridiculous. and the players, why the players aren't doing what they ought to do, I don't know, and it's got to bug Tom Crean more than anybody else in the world.
Well, you got to ask Tom Crean, and maybe not exactly in this format, but you got to ask him, what the hell happened? I mean, really, for starters, you look at one field goal in the last 5 minutes of the game, and 2-12 down the stretch. I mean, if nothing else, they were leading at the half, and if nothing else, all they had to do was control the ball, control the clock, and be able to hit some shots in the last 5 minutes of the game, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now. So if you were to sit down with Tom Crean and say, hey, Tom, I'm asking you this, so one guy to another, and our fans want to know, what the hell happened? What do you think his answer would be?
Well, I think he would give me the most politically correct answer that he could possibly think of. He is a great guy for communicating. When he has nothing good to communicate, he's very good at communicating nothing. And covering his press conferences is really a lot like going to a politician's press conference. And when I used to do that, you know, that he'd go cover a congressman, and he would, for 20 minutes, he would talk about nothing. And in the middle of it, he would say something for 12 seconds that made perfect sense and was a great soundbite. And it took me about three of those to figure out that during that thing in the 12 seconds was the thing that he wanted used in the media. And the other 19 minutes and, you know, 50 or 48 seconds was just gibberish that nobody was ever supposed to quote. And Tom Crean is very, very smart in that way. He communicates with the media in a very interesting way, in a non-threatening way, in a way that really doesn't constitute communication at all. And he's really good at it. And you know, I was listening to the Dan Dockett show today, and if Dan knows how these things work, and he said that Tom Crean is maybe the best he's ever heard at you know, dealing with the media and speaking publicly about his team.
Well, absolutely.
I'm not sure if I answered your question, but I don't think he'd tell me anything that would placate you know, the fans or really thrill anybody. I mean, they're 4-7 in the Big Ten. What can you say?
Well, you know, you answered it just what I figure. You're absolutely right. Tom Crean is very good at getting sound bites and covering it up with everything else. And not that Tom Crean's not a good coach. He is a great coach, and he's a great recruiter. And I think you nailed it on the head when you said that there has to be some better chemistry between these players and when they come together and play. And, you know, Dan Dockage, I got a lot of respect for him. He also obviously had plenty of time there at IU and knows IU basketball, knows. And if anybody understands the IU fan better, it's Dan Dockage. But at some point, fans become very, very, very restless, especially when it comes to IU basketball. We're passive, I guess you could say, when it comes to IU football, but we're very, very proactive when it comes to IU basketball, and maybe we can thank Bobby Knight for that. I think Bobby Knight was one of the greatest things that happened to IU basketball. Whether or not he wants to admit that or not, that's a different discussion for a different day. But IU has got to do something bigger, better to get into the big dance. So I guess that's the next question. Do they dance or do they stand up against the wall this year?
Oh, no. Unless dancing is going to the NIT, I don't think there's going to be any dancing. Going 5-2 down the stretch, I just can't fathom it. Maybe they do. You know, they'd have to beat Purdue on Saturday. Then Iowa comes into Assembly Hall. And Indiana's beaten Michigan, Wisconsin at Assembly Hall, so that's certainly possible. And then you host, you've got Nebraska coming in, you can beat them. But I don't know, I don't know how, after you've gone 4-7 against the schedule they have, how you're going to go 5-2. I think that's a really tough putt. But this is a year of growth, and it's a year of, you know, Troy Williams and Stanford Robinson figuring out what college basketball is. Yogi Ferrell's become the leader of the team, you know, and you said it, but the team, you know, you want your basketball team playing like a fist, and what they're playing like are five fingers all belonging to a different hand, You know, it doesn't seem like anybody's on the same page. Noah Vonleh is not demanding the ball. He's the best offensive player on the floor at any point for the Hoosiers, and he doesn't get selfish with it. You know, so you wind up getting 6 points out of him or you know, four shots, and that just can't happen. If you've got a guy who's going to be drafted sixth, as he's projected in the NBA draft come this June, the sixth guy overall ought to be able to go down on the block, demand the ball, and put it in the bucket, or go out to the wing, catch and shoot. I didn't see him shoot a three last night, but prior to last night, he was 11 of his last 15, and that dates back to Thanksgiving. If you're 11 of 15 shooting threes, you got to shoot more threes. You should never average more than 50% shooting threes, because if you do, you're not shooting enough, and Noah Vonleh just doesn't shoot enough.
And we're talking with Kent Sterling of 1070 The Fan Local here in Indianapolis and KentSterling.com, and a very, very avid writer of not only Indiana University, but everything that has to do with Central Indiana sports and, well, sports in general, that's for sure. Well, you know, we're talking about college basketball, and we're talking about, you know, where we're at. We're halfway through the season, midterms, if you will, if we put it into college terms and classroom terms type situation. These kids got to make the grade. So if you were one of their professors, and I'm clearly speaking only about their performance on the floor, not their academic performance, to make that clear. And just to point out, you and I caught up the day after, on Thursday night, the day after the IU-Penn State game. So when we handed out these grades, that was as of on Thursday evening when you and I caught up. So I want to give you a few people. I just kind of want you to talk with me of what you think their grade might be, pass, fail, whether that be A, B, C, however you want to deem that. Feel free to grade on the curve if you'd like. But
okay.
Certainly we'll start with Yogi. Yogi Ferrell has really been impeccable in his sophomore year. He leads the team in, what, 17.5 scores and about four assists a game, and consistently carries this team day in and day out, game after game after game. You really can't ask for any more player than that. My opinion would give him a passing grade. What are your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. I'd give him an A. Not only has he been a terrific basketball player, and really, where would this team be without Yogi Ferrell? They'd be terrible. Who's going to take shots on that team but Yogi? Yogi took 16 last night, and nobody else got up, I think, more than 8. And it might have been less than that. He's a terrific leader. He's a really good kid. He represents the university well. He was that kind of a kid when he was at Park Tudor. And what the real thing that you got with Yogi Ferrell was he got leadership when you recruited him, and I think that he's absolutely fit the bill, and a guy that you know, has been everything that was advertised and more.
Well, and we move on to my next player on my list here, Stanford Robertson. Really kind of a diamond in the rough. I don't know that Tom Crean or IU, maybe Tom Crean knew exactly who Stanford Robertson was, but we're just beginning to see who he is. He has a little bit of a problem shooting some jump shots. He really loves to be very aggressive and attacks the rim very, very well. I certainly think that he deserves a passing grade. And again, I have no scientific theory on giving him A, B, or C, but I don't know that I would give him an A, but I think that he's still developing, that if we have this conversation at the end of the season, he definitely could get an A.
Well, he's a kid who came to Bloomington and really had no right hand, couldn't dribble right-handed. And so Indiana went to work on that, Tom Crean and his staff, and he's a pretty good ball handler with both hands. He can get to the rim. He's an electric offensive player. But he, like a lot of kids who aren't from Indiana, you know, if you're from Indiana, you learn how to play basketball at a young age, and that's on both ends, both offensively and defensively. And these freshmen, whether it's Troy Williams or Vonleh, or Stan Robinson, those guys came in not really knowing how to play Big Ten defense, and they're learning. And you saw that with 2:09 left last night against Penn State. Stanford Robinson fouled a kid, just ran him off and ran him out of bounds. And you can't do that. 3 seconds into the shot clock, he committed an absolutely atrocious foul that really led to this thing, led to the dominoes starting to fall in Indiana's disfavor. But he is who he is, and he is who everybody thought he was. He's going to be a terrific player next year, and he's one of those guys that Tom Crean's going to develop into a really serviceable Big Ten player or better.
Well,
I didn't give you a grade, though, did I? I give him a passing grade. I mean, I give him a B. I think that he's improved, and he's going to continue to improve. And if anything, in Bloomington, one thing that nobody can argue, whether you're pro-Crean or anti-Crean, is that the kids at Indiana work really hard to get better, and Stanford Robinson is no different.
Well, absolutely, and I think that we're going to see a lot come from this kid, especially as time goes on and the more experience that he has. Now, my next guy on my list here is really what I want to say, one of my favorites. As a personal favorite, as an IU alumni, a guy I really like to watch, a guy I've really enjoyed watching over the years, and that's our big guy, 6'7", Will Shahey. He's scoring really more than he ever has in his career. He's a great leader. But at the same time, as the season goes, and certainly a very energetic player. You can't get any more energetic than him. And certainly, again, maybe this is why he's one of my favorites. He's everywhere, and he's very aggressive after the ball. He has great leadership qualities. He's really constantly teaching the younger players. Cause let's face it, this is the last year he'll be playing for Indiana, and highly doubtful that he'll go to the NBA. Maybe that could happen on an outside chance. But really, at the end of the day, he has just really kind of had a mediocre season, at least for a senior, at least what I think. And I think because of that, as much of a fan I am of Will Shahey, he's been a mediocre player, so to me he deserves a mediocre mark.
Well, you know, he really hadn't gotten a whole lot better during his time at Indiana, but he is one of the – he's going to leave there a 1,000-point score. I know he was at 999 for a long time last night. I don't know whether he got the 1,000th point, but he's going to wind up probably with upwards of 1,060, 1,070 points. So he's had a really, really good career. He was an important part of the team last year that was number one. So he's an easily overlooked guy, because this year has been such a train wreck, and it's really, I think that there was a greater expectation, especially after he made the junior team that played over in Russia during the summer, that he was going to come in and really be able to contribute in a way that he hasn't. His outside shooting hasn't been real good. His decision-making last night, he committed a turnover where he jumped, had nowhere to go with the ball, threw it out of bounds. You know, those kinds of problems seem to plague Will, and so I think that people are going to look at him and not appreciate the player that he's been throughout his 4 years, because this year really didn't live up to expectations.
Well, we're talking with Kent Sterling of KentSterling.com, 1070 The Fan, local here in Indianapolis, and really love to watch and follow Kent and his expertise. And certainly, if you get a chance, go to KentSterling.com and follow him on Twitter. Always, always right. I don't know how he has time to do anything else. His radio show and everything else. I mean, I do one show a week, and I know I work full-time. I work in the media behind the scenes full-time for Gannett, but I don't have time. I don't know how you do it, but I admire you. I don't know who's harder working in media, you or Kevin Lee, but either which way, I don't know. Oh, you guys got my time to do it. Well, you know, here's another guy here, and I've got just a couple more here I want to get your thoughts on. Trey Williams,
sure.
Really kind of a flashy kid. I mean, really, he's very, very aggressive. Flies through the air, reminds me of Home Depot, or Home Depot, as we used to joke around on the show about. But I think it only gets him so far, and I think his jump's kind of been off mark. He is averaging, I guess, as far as rebounding, about 4.5 per game. The second on the team. Now that leads us to another conversation. If you're second on the team in rebound and only rebounding 4.5, that tells me that there's another conversation there. But he clearly hasn't been consistent enough to really earn anything. What I would say, either a passing grade, maybe an average grade, maybe a C minus or a D. But I mean, he's flashy. He can jump. He's young. So I certainly think that he'll grow into his ears, per se. But at this point, I don't know, other than the fact that Troy Williams can jump high, I don't know. Because he could jump so high, you would think he would get more rebounds.
Well, I'm gonna do something that I normally don't do, and I try not to do always, and that's kind of crawl into the head of a kid where I really don't know him. I don't know Troy Williams, but the way he plays makes me believe that he values the highlight play disproportionately to valuing the good basketball play. I think that he really, he'll go up and instead of trying to just go get an offensive rebound and bring it to the ground, he's flying around the rim and trying to get those flushes and flying around trying to get blocked shots instead of blocking his guy out so his team can corral a rebound. And I think so often that kids in this sports center kind of culture that we've developed, that ESPN has developed for us, I think the kids really try to make a top 10 play, as Williams had today, Thursday because of the game Wednesday night against Penn State. I think that's kind of the badge of honor for those guys, rather than setting a good screen, getting a good block out, and things that you need to do to play winning basketball. I think he's got to learn the difference between winning basketball and highlight basketball.
Well, and that, you nailed it on the head. You really could have said it any better. He's great at giving us the highlights, but he's not really good at winning us ball games, which I think at this point in the season is exactly what we need. You might say I saved the best for last. I mean, this kid, I think, really has a potential to go into the NBA. A lot of people say that Larry Bird likes him, and there's a chance he'll play right here in Indiana for the Pacers, which we don't know. But Noah Vonleh, I really like this kid. I think that he is really, to me, much like Farrell, there's really little to complain about. But he really goes out there. He works hard. He's a hard worker. And as they say in sales, the numbers don't lie. And he really is that guy who averages a respectable 11.5 points per game. He's 6'10". I mean, he leads the conference in rebounding with 9.6 boards per game. You really can't ask much for that, more than that, and this kid can develop into a very good NBA player, hopefully for the Indiana Pacers.
Well, his stock would really have to fall for Indiana to get a shot at him in the draft, unless Indiana completely takes a dive in the second half. Maybe at some point he could be a Pacer. He's a year young, because he moved up a class, and that's what the guys who are going to the NBA are starting to do. Andrew Wiggins is another one, I believe, who they reclassed themselves a year ahead, graduated high school a year young, so they could enter the NBA draft at the same time that they would have been able to had they become high school seniors. So he's a guy who really should be a high school senior. He plays hard. He works really, really hard. If you see video of him from a year ago in high school, he was skin and bones. And now he's got a Big Ten ready body, and by next year he's probably going to have an NBA ready body. So I think that he's been a smart guy as he's built himself into a basketball player. One thing that I really like him to do is demand the ball and be an offensive leader on that floor, because he's got the game to do it. And if he doesn't do it, then who will? You know, Yogi Ferrell can't shoot 16 times a game and have Indiana succeed. He needs another component to be able to balance that floor offensively, and Noah Vonleh's got to be it. And to this point, he's been really hit and miss in that role. Other than that, I mean, he's supposedly a great kid. He works really, really hard. He's a kid who goes to class and does all the right things. From what I hear, but I sure would like to see him. I'm going to go back to Dan Dockich for a minute, because Dan Dockich told me about he wants Luke Recker play up at DeKalb, when they were recruiting Recker. Recker, I think he had like 7 points, And Dockich said, you know what, you can't play in Indiana if you're going to go out in high school and get 7 points. You know, you're going to play basketball in Indiana, and this is a level you play at, that's not going to work. And I think Noah Vonleh is kind of in that same boat, where if he's going to go to the NBA and he's going to be drafted sixth, he owes something to Indiana University as a freshman to go out and give Indiana all he's got. And right now I think his attitude is just a little bit too team first and not me first enough, because once he gets selfish, I think Indiana is going to get better.
And you know what, that's a very good comparison. I'm glad you said that, because it does make sense. And especially for somebody that may have NBA aspirations, you know, we preach team, there's no I in team. Well, really there is an I in team, and you really have to be a selfish player in a lot of ways, especially if you want to be looked at on tape. And, you know, I don't want to get too far off my notes here, but I left him, you know, like I said, I saved the best for last. I think out of anybody, he's got the best shot in the NBA. And I think certainly, let me paint a scenario for you. You know, I kind of thought that he would go late in the NBA for the Pacers, but you're thinking different. Let me paint another scenario for you. And this is totally off the cuff here, not on my notes or anything like that. But we know one other coach in the NBA that loves hardworking players and can relate to this type of a player. Brad Stevens, the Boston Celtics, mm-hmm. somewhere in the top 10.
Right, and that's where they've got him going, like on ESPN.com, other like NBA Draft Express. They've got Vonleh going number 6 to Boston, and I think that would be a great fit. He's going to be an excellent component piece for an NBA team. He's probably going to be a year or 2 years away in development, and that suits the Celtics' timeline really, really well. They're not going to be ready. They're not ready to compete this year. They're not going to be ready to compete next year, but maybe in 15-16 they're good to go, and that'll be a year that Vonleh is ready physically for the rigors of an 82-game schedule.
So you think that he's at least a year out then, okay? Well, we'll get into that.
From being a really good NBA player, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, we could sit around and give grades to people all day long. I want you to give one more grade, then I want to get into next week's big game against Purdue, and
okay.
Then I promise to keep you to a clock. I'll do my best to do that. But one last grade, Tom Crean, pass or fail?
I think you give him a pass. There are certainly things that you'd like to see Indiana do better, and some of those things are a component of coaching. There's any question about that. That you look at the head coach and someone, the buck stops with the head coach. He's the guy who runs the program, and if the program fails during a season, then you look at the head coach and you might give him a failing grade. But I don't do that with Crean, because I think that this team is going to be ready next year to compete. I think Farrell with another year of seasoning. I think that Troy Williams and Stanford Robinson are going to be better for having played this year. And I think Tom Crean is smart enough to see that. And one thing that you can never question about a Tom Crean team at Indiana or at Marquette is that they work really hard. I think those guys show up for practice every day and work, and they show up for games, and they work 40 minutes. And as long as guys are giving you that kind of effort, I have a tough time failing the coach.
Right, and I
now,
think
that said, if they go in the tank the last 7 games and they don't work hard and they don't play hard and they start getting blown out by teams like Nebraska or Purdue, or if they start getting blown out and they go 2-5 the rest of the way, that grade's going to completely change.
Absolutely. I don't know that he's going to be in a situation where he's going to be fired, but – going perfect segue into our next conversation here. Purdue, IU. When this interview airs, I know I caught up with you on Thursday, the day after the Penn State game. But on Thursday, this Saturday, so when this interview airs today, IU Purdue. You got Matt Painter. In a lot of ways, same record, same type of scenario. Matt Painter goes in the tank the rest of the season, he's looking for another job, whereas if Tom Crean stays and goes in the tank, he gets to stay. Am I wrong or am I right?
I'd be stunned, and really I'd be horrified if Purdue made a change with Matt Painter. I think Matt Painter is a terrific coach. He's the right guy for that job. I think he's done a really, really good job. I think it's very hard to recruit effectively to Purdue. He's got a good group of kids. And when A.J. Hammons plays hard and well, and that's happened more often this year than it's ever happened in his life, Purdue's really a pretty good team. I really like Purdue, and I think they probably earned their record because they haven't recruited the kind of talent that it takes to win consistently at the Big Ten level. But recruiting to Purdue is just really, really tough. I always give Matt Painter a passing grade because I think he's a terrific coach.
I like Matt Painter, and you know what? He was handpicked by Gene Cates, which was obviously the legend at Purdue, the Bobby Knight at Purdue. We're talking with Kent Sterling, kentsterling.com, and 1070, the fan there on here local here in Indianapolis. I tell you what, today's game or the game coming up on Saturday at Mackey Arena, really, it doesn't really matter. Matt Painter, Tom Crean, it's inbred. It's probably part of their scholarship papers. If you go to IU, in order to play for IU and get your scholarship, you have to beat Purdue. Vice versa. You go to IU, you go to Purdue, and you want a scholarship here, you have to beat IU. So really, we just tear up everything we just talked about the last few minutes and realize that we got two teams, 14 and 10, that are struggling inside the Big Ten. Both teams have got to make a name, but also both teams, IU has to beat Purdue as far as what IU thinks, and Purdue has to beat IU. And let's face it, it's a rivalry that goes deep into the hearts of Indiana here. It's going to be a great game no matter what happens. Indiana at Purdue, what say you, sir?
It'll be a terrific game. I think it'll be, you know, Indiana for any chance, for them to have any hope to play meaningful games in March, they've got to win that game. For Purdue, this is a game where vengeance comes into play because last year Indiana beat Purdue twice and they beat them soundly, I think by a combined 70 points. And they haven't forgotten it. Matt Painter hadn't forgotten it. Ronnie Johnson hadn't forgotten it. None of the guys playing for Purdue have. And so they're going to come out with a chip on their shoulder, and I think it's going to be a really tough game for Indiana.
Well, and I think, unfortunately, as big of an IU fan I am, I fear that you're totally right on that. Let me ask you this real quickly here, and I'm going to let you go because I promised to keep you to the clock here. But IU goes down, but you know us radio guys, we're like Baptist preachers. We never really stay on time, do we? Isn't that how it's supposed to be? Unless it's time for a break, and then mysteriously all the salespeople show up if you're late for a break wanting to know what the heck. They don't even listen to your show. Anyway, that's another time, another break. But so real quickly here, Purdue tanks, goes really bad. Let's paint some crazy scenarios here because these are crazy scenarios. But, hey, it is what it is. The end of the season comes, Purdue tanks. We get into the Big Ten Championship, they win the championship. Thoughts? Could happen? Total bizarreness? Or, hey, you know, it's at least plausible.
Well, anything can happen in Indianapolis. We've seen that before. you know, Minnesota a few years ago, and it was that kid with Half Harbor or whatever his name was, beat Indiana with that crazy shot when Indiana really had a pretty good team, and we were hoping they'd win because Dan was the interim coach at that point, and, you know, all good Hoosiers love Dan Dokic. You know, it's one of those tournaments that where absolutely, and we've seen anything happen. I mean, Indiana's beaten Michigan. Indiana's beaten Wisconsin. Penn State has beaten Indiana. You know, Northwestern has beaten Indiana at Indiana. We're going to see what happens Saturday with Purdue and Indiana. It's mayhem. We've seen, I think, Northwestern beat Wisconsin. You know, so you could wind up with, you know, Northwestern and Nebraska in the Big Ten championship game. Who knows? I think it's going to be a great tournament, and I really can't wait because Indianapolis hosts that thing better than anybody. much better than Chicago. It's a focal point for the people in Indianapolis. People come down to Indianapolis from Fishers and up from Greenwood and over from Avon just to kind of hang out and be part of the environment. That doesn't happen in Chicago. It's one of my favorite events on the sport calendar. I think it's going to be terrific.
All right, Kent Sterling of KentSterling.com. We can talk IU basketball or Purdue basketball with him all day long. I appreciate you coming on with us. Any sneak peeks that you want to share with us as we break into baseball camp coming up here real soon? Because it is February, but officially spring camps have kind of started up. So any words of wisdom, especially for us Cardinal fans and God hate those Cup fans, but any words of wisdom that you have real quickly?
Well, Cubs fans are going to have a terrible time this year. It's going to be misery in 14 and 15, but the Cardinals fans are going to really enjoy both years. Exactly, but I think it's going to be even worse. The Cubs won 66 games last year. I think they're going to win less this year. I think they're going to be worse, and I can't even imagine how that's going to happen. But without Soriano, without the guys that the Cubs had last year who kind of carried the ball for them and caused some of those wins, I think they're going to have a really tough time. Cardinals are going to be the Cardinals, as always.
Well, I'm excited to get into that, and obviously we'll talk a lot of baseball over on the Hot Corner every Thursday night as we get deep into baseball. Well, Kent, let me ask you this. Airport, your wife, Bahamas, all big kinds of drama going on there. who won the virtual Facebook poll as far as to why she was outraged or not outraged, or, I mean, how did that outcome? How did that, as the world turns according to Kent, turn out there, sir?
In what? I'm sorry about that. I didn't hear the first part of your question.
The airport trip to the Bahamas.
Over to Jamaica?
I apologize.
No, that's fine. I've been kind of cagey about it. I didn't want to tell people when I'm going because I don't want people to know when I'm on vacation. What are the people who sent us a Facebook message about that said that Julie should take me to the airport, and she likes and respects that person, so she's going to do that. Thankfully, my wife has capitulated, and I'm going to have a ride.
All right. Well, I won't release the dates or anything like that. So I thought that was humorous. Now Jason Hammer and Nigel are good friends with Jason, and I mean there's always drama on his Facebook page, but that was good. So it stands out. All right, buddy. Real quickly, where can people find your work, your masterpieces, or anything like that?
Well, as always at KentSterling.com, and then on Twitter at Kent Sterling. Everything's Kent Sterling. And, we work hard at it every day and try to bring people something they can't get anywhere else, just like you do with your shows.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. And, Kent, I look forward to you being on again. I hope you have yourself a fantastic weekend, sir.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
All righty.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Last full night of NBA action before the All-Star break. Wednesday night, it's your top 10 plays. We start in Brooklyn. Josh McRoberts behind the back to Bismack Biyombo. Josh McBob, nice dish. He's a good passer for a big fella. Number 9, Victor Oladipo. He's made the top 10 plenty of nights in his rookie season. The steal and a little double clutch slam in transition all by his lonesome. At number 8, James Harden on the drive. And he finds his co-pilot, Dwight Howard, up top between 4 Wizards defenders. Howard comes up with the alley-oop. Screams to let you know it's top 10 worthy. Number 7, Blake Griffin driving for the dunk. And then the alley-oop from CP3. It's the Blake Show's nightly edition on the top 10. That is what we call a blow-by from LeBron James. There's not enough help defense in the world to stop that as he goes reverse on David Lee and the Warriors at number 6. Number 5, the Knicks turning some defense into offense. Amon Shumpert with the steal. Pablo Prigioni throwing it up for Tyson Chandler. Off-balance alley-oop finish. Going full speed at this one against the Kings. And Chandler, the big fella, finishing in transition. Number 4, back to LeBron James. And uh-oh, when he gets out on the break, look out below. Draymond Green goes blowing by him, and LeBron easily just jumps straight up. Good body control for the finish. Same ball game for number 3. This time the Warriors on the break. Andre Iguodala splitting the defense and going double clutch. He goes right between Mario Chalmers and Ray Allen and needs a little finish. The Warriors could not get the win. We'll come back to that in just a second. At number 2, big-time players make big-time plays in big-time moments. This, the game winner for James Harden, part of a 35-point night as the Rockets beat the Wizards by 1. That one with a second to go. And number 1, speaking of big-time players making big-time plays, LeBron James, after Steph Curry had an and-one on the other end, the King takes his throne. The game winner fadeaway 3 at Oracle on the road.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Marquez, El Presidente. Thanks so much for Kent Sterling, KentSterling.com and 1070, the fan here local in Indianapolis, talking some IU basketball with us. And the big game going on today at Mackey Arena, IU and Purdue Boilermakers. Also, joining us now, we're getting ready to jump into that NBA talk. Running a little bit late today. That's okay. We're going to get it all in, I promise you. 917-889-8516 is our digits, social media, T-Balance on Facebook, The Balance. Joining us now, Mr. $2 Bill Josh, our NBA analysis and man of the hour when it comes to NBA. Are you ready, sir? Are you ready, sir, Mr. $2 Bill Josh?
I have fired up on this NBA All-Star Saturday. That was a great interview with Kent Sterling and Tom. Always a pleasure to join you here on The Balance.
Hey, man, you know what? It's good to have you on board as well. I apologize about the audio quality. I caught up with Kent earlier this week, had to tape that interview. And so sometimes when you tape interviews, it's not always the quality that you'd like for it to be. So I do apologize for that. But we move forward. We move on. Here on The Balance, 30 minutes of NBA talk going now. All-Stars, obviously some Pacers on the All-Stars, and Mr. $2 Bill Josh, I'll tell you what, it's back. NBA, we're getting back into full swing of a lot of other sports, back into full swing with baseball and the NBA and racing and so forth. So it's NBA All-Star Weekend. Break it down for us, sir. I hand over the balance reign, the torch, if you will. Lead us to victory, Mr. $2 Bill Josh.
Well, last night was All-Star Friday night, the Celebrity All-Star Game, and Arne Duncan, Barack Obama's right-hand man, the Secretary of Education, put on quite a show with 20 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. Tamika Catchings of the Indiana Fever had a solid game. And then later on last night was the rookie sophomore Rising Star, BBVA Rising Stars Challenge. Andre Drummond of the Detroit Pistons had 30 points and 25 rebounds. Tim Hardaway Jr. showed he can do something his daddy couldn't do, and that's dunked the ball. There was no Pacers in the Rising Stars Challenge. And Indiana Pacers fans, y'all are going to hate me. You can send me your hate tweets to my new Twitter account, which I'll give you later in the show. You can tweet me, tell me I'm an idiot, tell me why I'm right, tell me why I'm wrong. Tom does all the time. Tonight, Pacers fans, is the highlight of your season. This weekend is the highlight of your season. Enjoy it. Get a cold six-pack of Coors Light, Miller's Light, whatever you like to drink. You're not going to the NBA Finals. The road to the Finals is closed to the Indiana Pacers. So enjoy Paul George tonight in the dunk contest. Enjoy the All-Star game tomorrow night. Question for you, Tom. Are you planning to watch the dunk contest tonight?
Absolutely not. Absolutely freaking not. A waste of time. And you know what? You might call me the double standard guy here, the hypocrite, if you will. I'll watch the All-Stars with baseball, and I'll watch the Home Run Derby every year. Never miss it. First of all, the NBA All-Stars is a waste of time. Second of all, the NBA Slam Dunk Contest is a waste of freaking time because everybody in the NBA can dunk, and everybody in the NBA that is in the All-Stars can dunk. I don't see anything that spectacular about being able to dunk a basketball. Although I cannot do it myself, nor can I hit a home run 300 yards away or whatever it may be. But at least I'm hitting something going 90 miles an hour, hitting it 300 yards. I'm not a 7-foot guy on a 6-foot basket with a ball I firmly have in my hand. So to answer your question, sir, I will not be watching the slam dunk contest, but I'm sure you will.
I'm absolutely excited to watch the slam dunk contest. Face the fans, Paul. Paul George has said he's going to jump over Rory Hibbert, do a 360, and dunk the ball. If he does that, he wins the dunk contest. Sadly, unlike Tom, the only thing I can dunk is a donut and my morning coffee. That's about
Man,
all.
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. When it comes to Dunkin' Donuts, that's where I'm at. It's the East All-Stars against the West All-Stars. Obviously, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Josh, real quickly, and then we're going to get into this All-Star talk, but I want to know from you, why is the door closed on the Indiana Pacers and a national championship yet again? Why are we being slapped in the face yet again?
Two people, Larry Bird, LeBron James. You don't bring in Andrew Bynum. Now they've had time to digest it, see what he looks like. He's a fat guy. Since I'm on the radio, I won't use the term I would use about him if we were hanging out at the bar. He's a fat guy. He's out of shape. He can't run down the court without having to bend over and grab his knees and try not to have a heart attack. Second of all, they talk about trading Lance Stevenson or another starter for a point guard and LeBron James. Let me ask you, Tom, who's going to guard LeBron James for 7 games and then be able to outscore him on the Indiana Pacers?
You know what, there's no doubt about it that LeBron James is a great basketball player, and maybe people will have the conversation that he's one of the greatest of all time. But let's face it, LeBron James is not having the kind of year that he has had. And also, the Pacers, I don't know, you can say what you want, it may come down to this again, beat the Heat. But there's something inside me that says the Pacers, this is their year. This is their year to shine. If not now, when?
Well, that's certainly a good point. You have the right to feel that way as a Pacers fan. Tom, did you not see the Orlando Magic game where the Magic took it to the Indiana Pacers? Or maybe the Dallas Maverick game where the Mavericks came into Bankers Life Fieldhouse and kicked sand in the Pacers' face?
Josh, did you not see every other game they've won this year? Come on now.
Here's the difference.
You got to give a little love. You got to give a little love to the gold.
I give them a little love. They're 40-12. That's impressive. But the bottom line is they're playing to be good right now. Miami's playing to be good enough to make the playoffs. Indiana Pacers are playing to be good enough to be the one seed. whereas Miami's lollygagging around all year long. We'll goof off. We'll have fun. We'll post for pictures. We'll make videos. Well, then when April gets here, it's go time. The Pacers are using so much energy right now. When the playoffs get here, they'll have nothing left.
You need to stop listening to Jim Rohn and Uncle Coward. Dude, you are so much like the drive-by media. Let's not give any props to the Colts. Let's not give any prop to the Pacers. Let's give the prop to everybody else but those that have deserved it. And by the way, what did you say the record to the Pacers was? At this point, I'm not ready to jump on a bandwagon just because the Pacers have lost a few games. Let's break this down. The NBA All-Stars, tomorrow, 8 o'clock TNT, Eastern Conference All-Stars, Western Conference All-Stars. Let's pick it apart. Go ahead, Josh.
Well, starting for the Eastern Conference All-Stars will be Paul George, LeBron James, Chris Bosh. Starting for the Western All-Stars will be Kevin Durant, the greatest player on the planet. James Harden, Kevin Love. And then, you know, you got your Dwight Howards and your Rory Hibberts. It should be a classic clash for all you players in the All-Star game. Defense not needed. If it would be like a typical All-Star game, LeBron James or Paul George should drive to Kevin Durant. He'll slide over, let him dunk the ball. The West will get the ball. They'll come back down the court. The Eastern people will move out of the way. They'll slam dunk the ball. Tom, I agree with you. While I like watching the All-Star game, what a waste of time. We're taking a week off to play a four-quarter game that means absolutely nothing. And if you're a Pacer fan, what happens if Paul George gets hurt tomorrow night? Or if you're Miami, what happens if LeBron turns his ankle? It's pointless.
Well, here's the thing. If LeBron James, say what you want about the Miami Heat, but if LeBron James goes down, you're going to see a big change in the way the Miami Heat plays their game. Their game, their whole thing, their everything they have is lined up around LeBron James. That's all they've got. You can say, oh, well, this player, this player, this player. Say what you want. LeBron James goes down, just like if Paul George goes down. Our game changes. Yes, drastically. But the game, it's a game changer if LeBron James goes down as well.
I absolutely agree. So let me ask you another question. I've been having this debate with people all week long on Twitter and on via blogs. Should there be an All-Star game? I personally think it's a waste of time. It drags the season out another week. We can play games, get the season done a little bit earlier. Or maybe just if you want to give the players a week off, give everybody a week off. Why is it that 99% of the NBA players can go to Cabo, which is where my favorite player is at, or Mexico, or go out to Uncle Si's house and go fishing? But 1% of the players got to work. Tom, if it's a week off, shouldn't it be a week off for everybody?
Hey, we could say the same thing about the All-Stars. We could also say the same thing about the Pro Bowl. What's your point? I mean, they want to play. You're saying it's a waste of time, and maybe it is. I mean, I don't really care. I mean, the All-Stars, take it or leave it. I would rather maybe a lot of times with the All-Stars when it comes to baseball, let it go. I really am not a big fan of the Pro Bowl. All the Pro Bowl is just give us another week of football. But let's face it, the Pro Bowl, well, let's count out the Pro Bowl because that's so much the case. But with the All-Stars and with both NBA and the MLB, it gives a chance for some players to have a bye week to get some well-needed rest. So it might be a waste of time, per se. And a lot of advertising dollars. It's a good revenue generator. But it does give some well-needed play. And let's look at how many teams have come back after the All-Star break in both NBA and MLB. How many teams have come back from the All-Star break to go on to really great things later in the season?
That is certainly another point that teams do get rested up at the All-Star break and do get their season turned around. But this year in the NBA, there's really four teams who can win the NBA title. The Pacers are one of them, but I would rank them fourth out of the four. But I don't think that's going to happen, but it's an awesome accomplishment. Paul George is all 24 years old. He's going to start the All-Star game tomorrow night. My favorite, the big dog, Warrie Hibbert, is a backup. Tommy, are you going to watch that, or are you just going to skip the whole weekend?
Probably going to skip the whole weekend. I might flip it on, but I'm probably going to just take my own weekend off. I don't really need to see LeBron James and the All-Stars. Although, for the aspects of the Pacers, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. All right, $2 Bill Josh, we got just a few more minutes left. I know you got this new love affair, your new girlfriend, your new kiss in the dark. It's the Houston Rockets. You're all in love with them. You're all about them. So go ahead, talk with us about why you love your new girlfriend. Are you there, Josh?
Yes, it's kind of a lengthy relationship I've had with the Houston Rockets, as I have now watched 221 consecutive Rockets games, whether it be in person or on TV. I subscribe to the Houston Chronicle, though I live here in Indianapolis. I follow every single player on the Houston Rockets. Some of them follow me back. I've conversed with a few of them on Twitter. Why do I like the Houston Rockets? Why do I think they're going to come into Bankers Life Fieldhouse one hot June evening, late in June, and win Game 7 in Bankers Life Fieldhouse? Defense, talent. My favorite player, my player of the week, Chandler Parsons, is a Rocket. And, Tom, the Rockets do one thing that no other team in the NBA has figured out yet. The Pacers have a minor league team, but it's a joke. They don't know how to use it. We are the only NBA team that effectively uses the D-League. And by the way, today's the D-League All-Star Game. And there's five future Rockets in the D-League All-Star Game. I think they're a great team. I think they got some pieces they need to trade. For all my Rockets fans who told me they were going to join, listen to the show this morning. By the way, good morning. It's 9:30 in Houston. So, Tom, have you watched the Rockets at all, seen them play this year at all?
You know what? I've watched enough to know that they're a good team. I watch enough of all sports. I don't get a chance to watch every single team. They're in the Western Conference. Do they have a chance to win the NBA championship? Maybe. But they're in the Western Conference, the toughest conference out of the two. I mean, and one could even argue that the Pacers and the Heat are in the Eastern Conference. They wouldn't be as good as they are if they were in the Western Conference. So am I agreeing with you that the Houston Rockets are a good team? Yeah, they're a good team. Am I in love with them? No. Do I think that they are the end-all and say-all? No. I don't know. It gets us into the conversation of the power rankings. Maybe that's where it's all at the All-Star break. How about the Milwaukee Bucks? Last week, 29, this week, 30. Going down. Milwaukee Bucks, thoughts?
They have 9 wins, enough said.
76ers, last week, 26, this week, 29. Going down.
They have Michael Carter Williams, a really dynamic rookie out of Syracuse who had a really great game in the Rising Stars Challenge. But they're playing for the first pick in the NBA draft, and they're not shy about who knows it.
Last week, the Los Angeles Lakers were 27. This week, they're 28 in the power rankings. Going down.
Well, they should be back at the retirement home for all the 40-year-old pro athletes go. I don't know why they're not, but that's where they should be.
Last week, the Sacramento Kings were 21, all the way down to 27 this week.
Well, the Sacramento Queens, as they're called in the Western Conference, just aren't very good this year.
Orlando Magic, last week 28, this week 26, going up.
They're going up based largely in part on former IU guard Victor Oladipo, who may very well win this year's Rookie of the Year.
Last week, the New York Knicks, 22, this week 25, going down.
What do we need soap operas for? We got the New York Knicks. They're an absolute joke. Mike Woodson, the former IU guy, is probably going to get fired today.
Cleveland Cavaliers, last week 30, this week 24, making a jump.
I'm not sure how they made a jump. They got Kyrie Irving and D'Wan Waiters and no general manager at the moment.
Brad Stevens doing what he always does underneath the radar. Brad who? Brad Stevens. Last week 23, this week 24. He just sneaks up on you.
He's coaching this hard out in the NBA, but Brad, you shouldn't have taken my advice. I was one of the people saying you should coach in the NBA. Go back to college.
Utah Jazz, last week 25, this week 22.
Well, they're a young, dynamic team. They got Gordon Hayward, formerly a Butler, and they got Trey Burke, formerly a Michigan. They're 3-4 years away from the playoffs. So.
Last week, New Orleans Pelicans, 20, this week 21. Obviously going down.
All I can tell you about the Pelicans, the biggest news regarding the Pelicans this week is their mascot had surgery. Yes, I said a mascot had surgery. They made him from a pelican to a chicken.
Detroit Pistons fire the coach this week 20, last week 23, obviously going up. Maybe a good decision.
Well, they won three straight games before they lost the other night by 4 points. They're playing really hard, and not to be funny, but the Pistons have lawyered up since their new head coach is John Lawyer.
Ba-bum-bum. Where's the snare drum and the cymbal when you need it? The Atlanta Hawks, hot led to last week 15, this week 19, must be iced over.
Well, that city's completely iced over now that Al Horford's out for the year with a knee injury, and Kyle Korver does have an NBA record, 134 straight games with a three-pointer made, but they're not going to do anything in the playoffs.
The Denver Nuggets going down last week 18, last week 14, this week 18.
They got blown out by the Indiana Pacers on Monday night. His former Pacers assistant Brian Shaw is having a rough year first year head coach.
Charlotte Bobcats going up this week 17, last week 19.
With regards to the Charlotte Bobcats, congratulations to Michael Jordan on the birth of your twin earlier this week.
Yeah, who has twins at 50-some-odd years old anyway? Washington Wizards, last week 12, this week 16.
Wizards don't get near the respect they deserve. They play the Rockets as hard as anybody has played them all year. They have John Wall and Bradley Beal, two dynamic young guards. They'll be all right.
Timberwolves out there in Minnesota. Ain't nothing else to do but watch basketball, cold weather. Last week they were 18, this week 15.
They have Kevin Love, the best big white man in the NBA, for a lack of a better way to put it. He might be the great white hope.
The great white shadow. Brooklyn Nets, number 14, last week 17, this week 14.
Well, Jason Kidd's got the program turned around in Brooklyn after the year turned to 2014. They're currently the seventh seed, but I look forward to move up in the Eastern Conference standings.
Ever try to move a Grizzly? Not that easy. They stay right where they're at. Number 13. Unlucky, lucky, I don't know, but they're right where they're at.
Well, they have several kids from Indiana on the Memphis Grizzlies. Courtney Lee, who went to Pike High School. Mike Conley, who went to Lawrence North. Zach Randolph, who went to Marion High School. So are they the Memphis Grizzlies or the Indiana South Grizzlies?
The Bulls! Them Chicago Bulls! This week 12, last week 16.
The best thing I've heard about the Bulls all week was somebody suggested they trade Derrick Rose for a pane of glass. Sure, Rose has more talent, but the glass is more durable.
Golden State Warriors dropping a slot. Last week 10, this week 11 in the power weight rankings.
Mark Jackson, you're on the way out. It's not your fault. Your owner gave you all offense and no defense, so you did the best you could in Golden State. You'll get another head coaching job.
And we move into the top 10 of the power rankings of the NBA. The Toronto Raptors, now come and listen to a story about a Toronto. Last week they were 11. This week they are 10.
The Raptors have bite, and they could be the team that eliminates either Miami or Indiana in the second round of the playoffs.
And we're going to try to get to my next one here. Stand by. All right, number 9, Phoenix Suns. Last week, number 9. This week, number 9. We need some sun. We need some sun here in Indianapolis.
We do need some sun here in Indianapolis. It's awful cold here, but the Phoenix Suns have former Pacers Gerald Green and Miles Plumlee. Miles Plumlee had a great game last night in the Rising Stars Challenge, and don't sleep on the Suns, Western Conference. They could be a surprise contender.
Speaking of the Western Conference, Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks. Don't move at all. They're happy in number 8.
Well, Mavericks aren't doing anything in the playoffs, and the NBA swears that Mark Cuban's a friend of the league, not an enemy.
Portland Trailblazers, obviously not trailing very much Blaze this week. They went all the way down from 5 to number 7 in the power rankings.
They also went down in the Western Conference standings from 3 to 5, and tonight should be called Portland Trailblazer night as their point guard Damian Lillard is competing in absolutely everything he can compete in an All-Star weekend. He probably wanted to be in the celebrity game, they just wouldn't let him.
And San Antonio Spurs do not move at number 6.
Well, somebody get the San Antonio Spurs some icy hot and maybe some canes and walk because they are just old.
The Clippers making some clips. Last week, 7. This week, number 5.
The Clippers have learned what it means to play defense in Lob City. Hang on, Clippers fans. You're going to have a wild ride in the second half.
Your other girlfriend, the Miami Heat, going down from 3 to 4 this week in the power rankings.
The biggest news regarding the Heat this week is that Gabrielle Union made Dwayne Wade sign a prenup. As on this week's episode of How the Heat Turned.
And the Pacers, your Indianapolis, Indiana Pacers from Indianapolis, Indiana at Bakers Life Fieldhouse, number 3 in the power rankings, going down from last week, number 2.
The Indiana Pacers are just starting to play some really, really, really bad basketball, selfish basketball, not getting back on defense, fighting with each other, Larry Bird. Get it fixed, or you're going to go from the first seed to, oh, my, my, what just happened?
Your new girlfriend, have they given it up for you last week, number 4, this week, number 2? Them Houston Rockets. Houston, we have no problem.
We are on a 7-game win streak entering the All-Star break, and I expect when Miami comes to town on March 1st, we'll be on a 13-game winning streak.
And at number 1 in your power rankings of the NBA, it's Snow Thunder, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Oklahoma City, the only thing they have is Oklahoma City Thunder like a college game. It's a college atmosphere, and they stay at number 1.
The Oklahoma City Thunder are the NBA's version of the Seattle Seahawks. They're young, they're dynamic, they're cocky, they're arrogant, they're confident. And they might as well call their fans the 12th man. But Oklahoma City, your season's coming to die in the Toyota Center in early June.
All righty, that's the power rankings for this week with the NBA Power Rankings $2 Bill Josh breaking them down for us. Well, Josh, we got just a couple more minutes left here, and then we're going to jump into the Olympic talk and finish off the show today. But after the All-Star, who benefits most from this All-Star break?
I think it'll be the Pacers, the Heat, the Thunder, the Rockets, and the Spurs who benefit the most as they have time to regroup and get some nice relaxation. And don't forget, trade deadline is Thursday, and I am off on Thursday, took the day off just because it's trade deadline day, so I could cover it for my new blog and on Twitter. So I guess it's time that I give you all my Twitter address to all you Pacer fans to tell me what a moron I am for saying the door's closed to the championship, and Tom, you had better not be the first one to tweet me.
Well, I might be your only follower after your love affair with the Houston Rockets. At least your only follower here in the Midwest. That's for sure. All right, $2 Bill Josh. So you got your new Twitter. Why a new Twitter? Why change your Twitter?
Well, I'm going to start writing an NBA blog covering the Pacers, the NBA, and the Rockets for Fan Nation. So I thought I should have a Twitter account with a Twitter name that went along with the fact that I'm now going to be a published blogger covering the NBA. So, follow me at Josh Elmore 5 with the capital J. And my actual screen name, once you are a follower, is Joshua Mr. NBA Elmore.
Special perks by joining the $2 bill, Josh, following him on social media. Real quickly, Josh, who's going to be the biggest after All-Star break surprise? Who's the whipped cream on the ice cream in the NBA? Who are we going to look at? Whoa, where'd they come from in the NBA this year?
Hey, and you're going to say this isn't because they're your quote-unquote my new girlfriend, the Houston Rockets, because I believe very strongly Thursday we're going to get Rondo from Boston.
All right, Mr. $2 Bill Josh, that's gonna call it quits for the NBA talk today. We're going to be right back. We'll take a break. Going to be talking some Olympics. And, yes, there was an Indiana boy on the podium this week, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. You have yourself a good week. We'll catch up with you next week right here on The Balance.
Have a good week, Tim.
All righty. $2 Bill Josh. Always bringing his 2 cents worth. Love it. Well, we're going to take a break. Be right back right here on The Balance. We've got 15 minutes left. You want to jump in the Olympic talk? You know how to get to me. 917-889-8516. Be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Soccer is the world's game.
And it has deep roots in Indiana.
It lives in our backyard.
In our rec league.
In nuestras escuelas.
Indy 11 is here.
And make no mistake, this is Indiana's team.
It was built from the ground up.
Brick by brick by soccer fans.
When we take the field next April, we'll be playing for you.
For me. Para mí.
For us.
This is my team.
Este es mi equipo.
This is our team.
This is your team.
It's time.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be there.
Voy a estar ahí. I'll be there.
This isn't just any soccer team. This is Indiana's team, and that includes you.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
That's exactly what one Indiana boy, Nick Gepper, has done. I'll tell you what, let's give it up. He may not have gotten the gold that he wanted to get, but my God, Nick Gepper. And the kid skis with no poles. I love it. I love it. Nick Gepper, Indiana's own boy from down there in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. One of two American teammates that prevented Nick Gepper from becoming the Olympic winner's gold medalist in the slopestyle. But hey, you know what? We'll take a bronze medal any day of the week. What a landmark achievement. But what was funny, when I was watching the Olympic coverage on NBC, Indiana never gets a break. Indiana never gets a just, I don't know. But you know what? They were right. They were right. But it was kind of humorous. They said, well, it's not exactly like Nick Gepper is from the he's skiing Mecca. 19 years old, winning a bronze medal from Lawrenceburg. And for those of you minions who try to keep track, bronze is third place. But you know what's even bigger than news than that? It was part of a podium sweep. Get out the broom. Swept ever by the United States. Well, you look back at the 1956 men's figure skating and the 2002 men's snowboarding halfpipe. Other than that, a sweep, which was sweet. You know, a lot of people are like, well, I'm not really getting into the Olympics. Why? Why not? It only comes around every 4 years. Well, I tell you what, we're doing all right in the medal standings, though. 13 total medals, 4 gold. Germany, though, 7 gold medals. Spoiler alert, in case some of you guys are watching it for later on. Switzerland with 5 gold medals. Canada, 4 gold medals. The Netherlands with 4, and the United States with 4 gold medals. We have 6 bronze and 3 silver for a total of 13 medals. So we're right up there in the medal count, if you will, just falling a little bit behind in the gold. So today we got the alpine skiing, the ladies super G. Get a laugh at that. Yeah, let your dirty minds think about it. Cross country skiing as well, the ladies. Curling. Pushing a rock, pushing a rock. I like curling. Talk about, we talked about a broom, the sweeping. Pushing a rock, sweeping the ice. Pushing the rock, sweeping the ice. Ice hockey. The men. Check it out. USA versus Russia today. I think a lot of people are watching this matchup today against Russia. This really could be, we don't know yet, but we're pretty excited about it for us Olympic watchers. I know you Indiana Talk people like hockey. I know you Indiana Talk people love hockey. USA today against Russia. Probably already played, but we're not going to spoil it. Also, Norway, Sweden not playing each other. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. Slovakia, you know what? I'm not even going to try to say some of these country names. I can say the USA. I can say American. American! But, you know, certainly just like with the NBA, when you have the Olympics, you have a lot of professional players come over and play in the Olympics. These are all our NHL fans. These are all... I mean, for NHL fans, these are our NHL players. I'll get it right. So they're used to playing with each other. But it is going to be interesting to see what happens between Russia and the Russia and the United States in men's hockey. You know, I was watching, and I always thought it was called the luge, but I guess it's, there's something different. It's called the skeleton. Perhaps what I really, really enjoyed watching the story of American. I tell you what, it was touching. It was really neat to watch the story of American Noelle Pikus Pace. I think you know who I'm talking about. She won the silver medal. How exciting was that? It was, I loved it. when she thought, well, first of all, she thought she'd won the gold, but she was just as excited even with winning the silver. She gets off her sled, which, by the way, was made for her by her husband. How's that for a Valentine's Day? We'll make you a sled that's going to get you a silver medal. Jumps over the wall. Looks like something you might have seen at a chicken flag at a NASCAR race. Climbs the wall. Kisses her family. Loved it. And that is one of many stories with the Olympics, the storylines. We talk about Nick Gepper. Wow. The kid, and you know, I joke about it, but Nick Gepper doesn't even ski with poles. It goes back to a surgery that he had, and so he had to continue to train and continue to ski, but he couldn't use poles. You would think that when you watch him that he's on a snowboard, but he's not, and it's incredible. And then you've got this story of super soccer mom, if you will. And she was done with the Olympics. That's why we watch the Olympics. That's why we watch it every 4 years, is we get to watch everyday Americans, if you will, outside of the NHL players going to play hockey, which I'm all for. But we get to watch everyday Americans playing a sport that we don't watch all for 4 years, really. We might catch up with them as we get closer to different Olympics, and they might do a little bit more on the figure skating. But for the most part, we don't see these guys. We don't know who they are. We don't know their story. Incredible. Incredible. So all I can say is I encourage each and every one of you to take some time and tune in on the Olympics. Tune in NBC Sports. Now, if you want to watch it live, here's a little bit of a training guide for you, if you will. If you want to watch the Olympics live, good stuff. There's several hours ahead of us. If you want to watch it live, go to NBC Sports Network, the same network you watch IndyCar on. But when you watch it at night, it'll be a repeat, okay? So if you don't want to know who wins the gold, you don't want to know who wins the silver or the bronze, stay off social media. I'm going to tell you what, you won't be disappointed. Just like it out here with me on the balance every Saturday morning, you will not be disappointed. Well, we come up to our two-minute warning. I want to thank all of our fans over at Indiana Chalks, iTunes, and our various other internet affiliates, mobile affiliates. I want to thank you so much for listening. I want to thank Kent Sterling, kentsterling.com, 1070 The Fan, for joining us. $2 Bill Josh, breaking down some NBA talk. Enjoy talking racing, getting that back in swing. My little rant on one Danica Patrick. I tell you what, I love being here every week with you. And just remember, guys, here's the thing. I'm going to make this my one-minute rant, and I'm going to be done with it. Because we're going to be talking probably more about it than I want to as we get closer to the draft. You know what? I really don't care if you're gay or straight. But here's the thing. It is morally wrong. Maybe it doesn't affect you playing the sport. I don't care what sport you are. It's wrong, wrong, wrong. So I know I have a lot of haters out there. Oh, times are changing. Remember when black people couldn't play baseball? You know what? It's not a civil rights issue with me. Not at all. It's cut and dry. It's black and white. This is a sports show, so I'm not going to get into it. Only because of the fact, we want to make a big issue about an NFL player who happens to be gay. You know what? Let's bring back the don't ask, don't tell. I don't care. Get out there and play football, earn your millions of dollars, and be done with it. I really could care less what goes on in your bedroom, but I don't want to know about it. Have you ever heard the phrase TMI? TMI? Too much information? Information overload? Well, guys, my name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. Don't drink and drive. It ain't cool. We'll be back next week right here on the Balance Radio Network. It's always a joy hanging out with you. Find us on Twitter, T-Balance. Okay. Out on the Balance and T-Balance and on Facebook, The Balance. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. I'm out of here. Peace.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.